Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, October 8th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. It is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast. It's a joy to be back. I had a couple Sundays away visiting some family and friends up in the greater Chicagoland area, as we say. Greetings to all of you who listen to the podcast up there. I love you all very much. It was wonderful to be together. And it is just great to be back home and here on the beach in Pensacola. It is a beautiful fall morning. The triathlon was taking place this morning. We're in the throes of the Pensacola Beach Songwriters Festival down here. Wonderful nights of music here in the church, as a matter of fact. A veteran songwriters night last night, a concert of light. Just a wonderful community down here and gathered around good stories and good music and good food, a real celebration of the best of life. And I pray that's what we celebrate here in worship together. And let's get back together and do what is our tradition and custom here at the opening of the podcast, to celebrate life by taking in the breath of life. So let's do that. Let's breathe. And let it out, and be aware of how precious that is, to take in the breath of life and to thank the author of life, our good God, to call to mind the people and places and things and opportunities that have been the best of our experience of life, and to give thanks to God for it all. And in this mind and in this posture, let us begin together in worship. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. Your digital bulletin can be found just below where you found today's podcast. It may say notes. It may even say podcast bulletin at this point. I should figure that out. But just tap on it, click on it, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. The heavens are telling the glory of God. May our worship reflect God's glory. The firmament proclaims God's handiwork. May we see each other as the handiwork of God. Let our prayer and praise, our singing and proclamation project the love of God. We commune with Christians around the world, with Christians throughout time, with Christians across geography and across time. Let us worship. Friends, our scripture reading today comes from the book of Exodus in the 20th chapter. If we jump a little bit, verses 1 through 4, then we jump ahead to verses 7 through 9, and then jump ahead one more time to verses 12 through 20. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. For God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you, so that you do not sin." This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Join together in a spirit of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word and your law alive and among us. You are a lamp unto our feet. You guide us on paths of righteousness. And we confess to you, O God, we stumble and we fall and we are misdirected and misguided at times. But we come here to this moment to hear your word, to listen for your voice, and to renew our relationship with you. We pray that you'd help us to hear the word that you have for us, that you'd save us from distraction and misinterpretation. We give you thanks. We pray this in your holy name and say, Amen. Friends, we have today this very famous passage of Scripture, these Ten Commandments, Moses receiving the law from God and taking it to the people. And yet it's one of these passages of Scripture. We refer to it all the time. We can shake our fists in the public square and say, you know, we need to get back to Judeo-Christian values, which I completely agree with that statement. But I don't think that shaking our fists in the public square is really where that begins. I think it begins in moments like this. You and I taking time, thoughtful, peaceful time to receive the Word of God as a gift and to take it into our hearts and to pay attention to particular words on any given day. and to encourage others to do the same is so often these Ten Commandments, right? We can use it as a very efficient way to whack people upside the head with the Bible. And clearly some of these things that are prohibited should seem to be just obvious to us, part of almost our natural law and understanding of right and wrong. I think it's helpful, too, to view the Ten Commandments through the eyes of Jesus. In the famous exchange Jesus has with a lawyer who asks him one day, "Teacher, what is the most important, the greatest of the commandments?" And Jesus replies by lifting up this ancient Jewish prayer, the Shema. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And then he adds something to it, and the second is like it: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." God and neighbor and love. Love of God and love of neighbor. The commandments unto themselves are prohibitions, important prohibitions. I look at them as boundaries and guideposts to live an abundant and peaceful life in the presence of God. If Moses were to do the opposite and write a list of the things that were acceptable, well, then that would be an infinitely long list. The commandments draw a border, free us up to more richly enjoy all of these good things that God has provided for us, has given us. But it begins first, as we look at verses 1 through 9, really. It's all about God. "I'm God and you're not. Put nothing in the way. Worship nothing but me. I am the ground of your entire being. I am the author of your life. I am the creator of everything you see and experience. I am God." So let's start there. And to this people, to this community, to these Israelites, to these Jews, he blesses them and all humanity with the gift of what I like to refer to as the 6-in-1 life. You work for 6 days, get your stuff done, but find a day, our Sabbath day, Saturday or Sunday, and set it aside as a gift from God. Not as a burden from God, but as an opportunity to take a break from all the hard work and to consider the Word of God, to sing the songs of God, to offer God prayers, to gather the family and have a good meal and listen to good music and read good books and enjoy nice art, to celebrate what it truly means to be alive in the presence of God. And then it shifts to these important, obviously, prohibitions of no murder, no adultery, don't take things that don't belong to you. And this don't take things that don't belong to you, the core of this, the main character in this is, as Jesus says, the neighbor. This is the greatest and first commandment, the love of God, and second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. God and love and neighbor. Love of God and love of neighbor. So hear this then, and focus on neighbor. "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." It's not so much the thing. It's the fact that it belongs to your neighbor. And is the reason you are desirous of it is that it belongs to your neighbor. And is that loving of your neighbor? And how much murder and adultery and theft comes from this unloving relationship with our neighbor? I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And God speaks to all of us, to you and to you and to you. I see you. I love you. I bless you individually. Don't be distracted by the shiny objects that belong to your neighbor, because they belong to your neighbor. Take stock of what I've given you. I would recommend to you, and the quote is too long, but perhaps if I get my act together, I'll put it in the notes of the bulletin. I'll read some of, this is where this focus on neighbor really came clear to me, is a commentary by René Girard about neighbor. And he says, without being actually wrong, the modern translations lead readers down a false trail. The verb covet suggests that an uncommon desire is prohibited. A perverse desire, reverse, just for hardened sinners, that this coveted, this coveting is the sin, that this desire is the sin. But the Hebrew term translated covet means simply desire. I'm quoting again from Girard. This is a word that designates the desire of Eve for the prohibited fruit, the desire leading to original sin. Since the objects we should not desire and nevertheless do desire always belong to the neighbor, it is clearly the neighbor who renders them desirable. I just think on that. In a culture, a marketing culture that thrives on tempting us, on propping up false gods, a marketing culture that chips away at our self-esteem, that points out to us, that says to us that we're not pretty enough, that we're not skinny enough, that we're not rich enough, that our car is not new enough, that our grass is not green enough, that our house is not beautiful enough, and always calls us to look at our neighbor, the images on the screen or the pages of the magazine or the billboard, and it demeans our sense of self-worth. Not an arrogant self-esteem, but the kind of life-affirming and life-giving self-esteem that is reminding ourselves that we are made at the hands of the great God Almighty, and that our primary, primal, foundational love comes from God, and that that's sufficient. And that if we love the Lord our God with everything that we are, and we don't craft for ourselves or allow somebody else to craft for us a false idol, it will be well with us. All the trouble in the world is based on the desire to have what our neighbor has, to take it for ourselves, rather than to celebrate what God has already done for us. And it's a daily challenge. It's a daily challenge for all of us. So I can wrap this up, as I always say, because I think it's a necessary practice for all of us. read the opening of chapter 20 in Exodus, and then maybe jump over to Matthew's gospel in the 22nd chapter. And don't read the Ten Commandments as a list of how bad you are or how bad the world is, but how good God is. That living within the framework of this divine law and through the eyes of Christ, to see the Father as Jesus sees the Father, and to see the neighbor as Jesus sees the neighbor, and to see our possession and our own kingdoms, the sphere of our influence and power, as gifts from God. And if we find in ourselves some coveting of the neighbor, an unhealthy desire for the things that we don't have, it's the joy of our tradition that we confess our sin. We hand it over to God. And we're healed. And we may need to do that all the time, but make it the practice. It's such good news. It's so beautiful. Take the time to receive the gift of God's law and liberation. And may peace be with you. Amen. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for your law, for your guidance, for calling our attention to you. The reminder that our only desire for our neighbor is for their blessing. That to love is to will the good of the other and not to take from them. And so as we look at the world around us, we pray, dear God, that we would all be convicted by your law. And rather than turning our gaze to the right or to the left, we would fix our eyes squarely on you and your love for us. And in turn, that we would burn with a new reverence and love for you. And help us, O God, to truly love our neighbors as ourselves. Help us to love ourselves in healthy ways. And God, I pray for this good world, your creation. Help us to live our lives to the full, to lead good lives, lives that glorify you, lives that point others toward you. And you know us, O God, each and every one of us, you know us. And you know the prayer lists that we keep, the joys and the concerns of our hearts and our minds. And so we celebrate, we take a moment of Sabbath to just sit peacefully in your presence, to be in community with you, that you would abide with us and bring us peace. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the gift of prayer And we pray that you'd hear us as we offer you the prayer that Jesus taught us, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so mindful of our God who goes with us, who loves us, who calls us to love him, who is delighted when we love one another as we love ourselves, as God loves us. Our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.